Heaven, we thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for the sunshine. Give us the same sunshine in our mind, in our heart, in our soul. We will be representing you in this world to tell your good news to each and every one of us, everyone in the world. Please give us the wisdom and understanding. Please make us grow morally, mentally, physically and spiritually so we can stand when you come. Help us understand you more better, to know more about you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And let's sing the first song, 213, Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again, 213. 213, 213. Please be seated. And giving gratitude, paying tithes and offering, I had a bad news, but no good news. But if you take last 2 weeks' offerings and tithes, and let me read it to you all, see if you all know at least a little bit of it. Okay? Just 2 weeks ago, this is this October 7th, I really shocked. Check we received for $512.50, and the loose payment was for $88. The total is $650. Okay? And last week, October 15th, the total amount cash we received it, that means tithes and offering and the people used their cash, received is $644. Total we received for these 2 weeks and $1,244. And with this, if you want me to run, ask me to run the church, I quit. I quit, I hand over to somebody else so somebody can run this church. It's impossible to run. And we have to still, we did not pay for this, the lawn mowing is $130 per week. And we got 2 weeks last September, 2 weeks in August, and 2 weeks in, August and September. So 320 and 320, 640. Just only for mowing the lawn. I still did not pay. And I'll be paying maybe tomorrow, so what? So please consider a little bit. Please consider a little bit. So we tie, then we electricity and the phone bills and internet, all these things. I know, I understand we're losing our members and we're not getting regular members as usually used to do, we to run. But still, we need little help from you. So kindly dig deep into your pocketbooks and your pockets, please kindly help the church, and so we can run this church peacefully. And our brother helps quite a lot too, and we have other brothers help quite a lot, but still we can't match the expenses as well as the income. So, and the tithes, you know what to do, that's you, between you and God, the contract between you and God, what you all do, that I'm not going to involve in that. So please, we just invite our deacon, please come forward for tithes and offering. give. Please stand. Father, we come to you again, asking for thy blessings upon the tithes and offering. Bless it and use it for thy cause. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
It's now time for our main prayer. Those who would like to kneel at this time may do so. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you and worship you because you are the one who is worthy of our praise and worship. Thank you, Lord, for always being there for us. Thank you for giving your life for our sins and giving us the chance for eternal life. Lord, help us always to give you first place in our lives. Lord, give us a burden for the salvation of our fellow humans. We know, Lord, that time is running out for this earth. You gave us the signs you have given us are as waymarks are fast being fulfilled. Lord, we ask a blessing and your care on all those this day that are not well, spiritually as well as physically. Also for those who may have suffered great loss in their lives. We ask you for special blessings on the message today. Let the words be directly from you. Once again, we want to thank you for giving us the chance to worship in freedom in the way we choose. Lord, we know that the evil one is taking over more and more of the world that he has claimed as his. Lord, we pray that each of us will be ready for your soon return. All these things we pray in your name, always trusting in you, Lord, for guidance. Amen.
Magazine. And if you go into the library, spend about 1 hour and you can read things going on around us each and every day. You know? And look at in our Congress, what's going on? In America, what's going on? So time is getting closer and closer. In Romania, one of my adopted daughter, her name Mihaela, she sent a message to me, Brother John, can you help me to explain me why these things are happening? And one well-known pastor in Romania, and he left everything. He has a house and he has a car. He has everything and moving to the mountains. So can you explain to me what's going on? Why is he going to the mountain? He said you want to be ready when Jesus comes. These things are happening. And we lost a couple of people from this church, moved to the mountains. They want to be holy. They want to be closer to God. Most of us people say, if I climb to Mount Everest, I'll be very much closer to God. When he comes, he can stretch me in. But that is not the truth. He's not going to just stretch you in. He's not going to stretch you in if you are not holy. So these things we all need to be careful. We all need to be careful in everyday life. Whatever we say, whatever we do, when we have a conversation, when we talk to somebody else, when you're talking to people, when you're mixing with people, when you're running with people, when you encounter people, things are different. So be holy. Why I need to be holy? Jesus said, and the Father said, be holy, for I am holy. When he is holy, now let it put it in a family way. In a family way, okay? Just don't go to the Bible. Just go to family. I know I lost my wife, and a couple of people lost their wives too. Now we have a nice young couple here. Beautiful couple. Welcome back. We miss you for 2-3 weeks. Anyway, thank you, and nice to see you all again. And let me ask you, Patrick and your wife. Please don't misunderstand me, okay? There's no misunderstanding. This is just to prove if I'm going to ask Mrs. Patrick, if your husband is floating, how do you feel, ma'am? You know what floating means, correct? Now you know what floating means? Floating around or flittering around, whatever you say. How do you feel? You feel, why you feel bad? He's doing behind you. You do not know what he's doing. After work, before work, whatever he does. How do you know? But you came to know. It's a family orientation. Just family. How do you feel? Between husband and wife, we are not honest to each other. You know, my wife is so honest and I am traveling around the world, different part of the world. So far, I visited almost 27 countries and almost about a few hundred cities. I can do wonderful things behind my wife, am I right? Oh yeah, possible. Eat the food whatever I want, eat, talk whatever I want, and do whatever I want, and the hotel is free, company conference paid, the company paid, I can do wonderful things. Yeah, we all can do wonderful things. Possible. Easy for us to do. But here my wife says, be honest to me because I'm honest to you. That's what Jesus is saying. Be holy, for I am holy. Then you can ask, is there anything more it talks about holy? Let's go back and study what is holy means. What is Corinthians knows? We study a little bit of background of this, completely talk about Corinthians. Now, what is Corinthians know of? Corinth was a leader among Greek cities. As it had an early example, 7th century BC, of a Greek Doric temples of Apollo, as well as having the first examples in the Greek world of terracotta, roof tile for its roof. Corinth was also well known for its pottery that traded all over Mediterranean. So here they talk about pottery, talk about temples, how they worship, and what kind of trade they had. That's simple. Just to make it simple to our present world. We have our own trade. our own work. Then we also have our own temple. And during the Corinthian times, okay? Then that's why in Roman Corinth, and Aphrodite and Poseidon and Demetri, oh, there's something missing also up there. And the Roman, they're worshipping Roman gods. Then this is the temple was destroyed during AD 70. And the view of Corinthian city. And here, Corinthians 6, that is my memory text, or scripture reading of the day. Scripture readings, Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11 to 18, be holy. So whatever I'm saying here is not my word. It is completely biblical. See how we behave with this word and how we understand this word. Corinthians, just put it instead of Corinthians, just put Clarksburg, Seventh-day Adventist Church, okay? Imagine. We have spoken openly. Last week I spoken openly, but it's not Adventist message. I know most of you dislike it. Of course it's not. I doesn't like to. And I'm not happy about what I preach. But just to say what's going on in this world today. And our heart is widely open. And you are not restricted to by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Okay. Now, in return for the same, I speak as to children. You also be open. Now it says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbeliever. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with the darkness? Okay, that's underlined it. I put some different color. And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idol? So what we understand these two verses, 14 and 15? What we understand? Can we put Christ and idol together? Is it possible? No? Is it possible to put Jesus and idols together? Impossible. Then believing and believers, you know, 2 weeks ago or maybe last week, our Stanley was preaching about unequally yoked. And when you say unequally yoked means not only say religious person, unreligious person. That's biblically unequally yoked. But do we really equally yoked to each other? Do we? Do we are really equally yoked with my brother Don? Did brother Don really equally yoked with Mary Jacob? Do we? That's good. Unequally yoked. We're not equally yoked to each other. That's what Paul trying to tell Corinthians, say, you are not equally yoked religiously, relationally with your neighbors, and relation with your wife, and relationship with your children. You are not equally yoked. But God says, we want you to equally yoked. And it says, number 16, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? Temple of God and idols. That's both not in equally yoked. Then number 17, For you are the temple of living God. Say, you are temple of living God. Isn't that? Are we temple of living God? Yes. Are we? Brother says, yes, we are temple of living God. Is God lives inside there? But the book says here, the Bible says, as God has said, I will dwell in them. Dwell in you. Dwell in your heart. He said, he wanted to dwell. He wanted to dwell in us. But are we willing to accept? Let's go back to the next one. Okay? And walk among you. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Says the Lord, do not touch what is unclean. You only talk about unclean, the whole thing is unclean. Everything is unclean. So we need to be clean to touch the clean things. Okay? If you touch unclean things, hygienically, it is not worth it. And I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my son and my daughter. That is what Paul promised and preached to Corinthians during his time. So now, by reading this, he says, just be holy. How to be holy? So what it mean to be holy? Now he says, what does it mean to be holy? Why I need to be holy? Why I need to be holy? What's the reason I need to be holy? Let's go back. Holiness is a noun. Everybody knows, okay? Signifies a separation to God. Just put yourself off from that, separate. This is old message, this is our new message. I don't know, but this just refreshing ourselves, say how close we walk with God. And are we rubbing our shoulders with Jesus Christ? Do we ready for the latter rain? Okay, that's what it says. If you read 1 Corinthians 1:30, and 2 Thessalonians 2:13, and 1 Peter 1:12, you know the separation of God. Okay, number two. The result, if you separate, what is the result? If you are holy, what is the result? What kind of result do you see? Okay, conduct benefit those who separated. Suppose I'm separating. Now, brother and sister, if you separate from me, how you feel? Since I'm picking on you, how you feel? Desperate? Huh? Something missing. So when you don't have, it is in earthly way speaking, but heavenly way, divinely way speaking, different. They say once you separated, 1 Thessalonians 4:3 and 1 Thessalonians 4:4 and 4:7. If you read that, how do you feel? Go home and read it. Then what does it mean to be holy? The holiness is, then holy is adjective. Separate from sin, therefore consecrate to God is a sacred. I know. Vijay, I know. I know you are what you're trying to say. I know, I want to be holy, but how to be holy? And are we holy? Suppose I ask my head elder, are we holy, brother? Okay. Brother David, are we holy? No? Okay, Brother Don, are we holy?
I don't know about everybody else.
Huh?
I don't know about myself.
What about Sister Jane? Are we holy? Montel, are we holy? Or are you holy? Okay. The problem, we all are holy. Okay? If we are holy, because we read our Bibles every day. Am I right? Yes or no?
I don't make you holy.
Okay, that's good. That's good. That's you. You're opening your mouth. Very good. That's one doesn't make holy. Yes, brother.
When we have accepted Christ, we're made holy.
Okay. Accepted Christ, be holy. Okay. By reading the Bible, it doesn't make holy. Because I used to say, if I want to be a mechanic, if I go to the mechanic shop and sit there, I cannot be a mechanic. I got to take the tool and do some work. Then I can be at least assistant mechanic or maybe fourth grade assistant mechanic, but still not mechanic yet. Am I right? Holding the tools is still not mechanic. You cannot be a mechanic either. Am I right? You have holding your Bible, you cannot be a holy. But what to do? He says, here he says, separate from the sin. So what is sin? Holy, yes, but what is sin? We talk about sin.
Sin is transgressing the law.
I know it's verbally, I know. Transgressing the law is a sin, I know. So what is actually sin is? I know the definition of sin is transgressing the law. I know the law, we have 10 commandments. I know whatever Jesus says, we don't follow, is sinful. So what is sin actually? What is sin? You know, I think, you see, for an example, if I go to a doctor, oh yes, I have some food problem. If I go to the doctor, doctor say, oh, I know. You got a food problem. It's okay. Is it a good answer? Is it a good answer? I know you have a foot pain. I know you got some problem. You know. It's a good answer? It's not a good answer.
No, you went to the doctor. You know you got a pain in your foot.
Uh-huh. So I go into the doctor for
the doctor tell you got a pain. You need to tell how to get rid of the pain.
That's it. Doctor has explained to me. Am I right? Your doctor could explain to me, okay, I know you got the pain and then you do some x-rays and you do some kind of diagnose my foot, whatever. Then say, okay, this is the medication or this is something you need to operate, whatever. He knows what to do. So that is sick. Because when I'm sick, then when I am sin, somebody has to tell you. So just now he says the Bible not going to cannot make me happy, but the Bible says, do not sin. Bible not going to save me, I know that. But reading the Bible not going to save me unless Jesus Christ is going to save me. But how to get rid of the sin? Of the salvation. You know, because we all come short, but the sin, how to get rid of the sin? My question, how to get rid of the sin? How to be holy? If you don't separate the sin from my this thing, how can I be holy? I want to be holy, but the sin is the one blocking me.
We have to stop sinning.
We have to stop sinning. So what is sin?
Separation from God.
Separation from God is sin. That's what the Bible says, correct? Separate to God. If you love God, you don't sin. Am I right? If you love God, if you really, you say, yes, God is my ultimate source of everything. Everything. So that's why I say, if you in God, all of us in God, all of us, everyone is in God, every one of us. That's why we come into church every Saturday, because we are in God. Am I right? We are coming to church every Saturday and spending from 9:30, maybe my sermons will take longer. Okay, see, 12:30, example, 10:30, 11:30, 12:30, 3 hours, we are holy. Is that correct? You know what we Adventists, many times, not Adventists, many Christians, I'm telling you, I'm so sorry to say, many Christians, many Christians, you know what they do? And now maybe, and when I didn't have that kind of opportunity to do that, this kind of job. Yeah, one time when I was working in school holidays, when I was 14, 15, 16 years old, and I had opportunity to work in a cigarette company where they manufacture cigarettes. That's when I was 16 years old. And every morning when holidays, that's my, to earn money to pay my school. So I go, every morning I had to go, and I got to take my timesheet and clock it in. I'm in, 7:30. Then almost about 4 o'clock, I go there again, my timesheet, I'm clocked in. So I'm now time to clock out. So I clock in and clock out. How many hours? 8 hours. That's all we do here. We come 9:30, clock in. 12:30, we clock out. That's called holy? Is that holy, brother? Is that holy?
Well, you can go to church every day of the week and still not be holy.
Absolutely. Even you go to church every day, you cannot be holy. So how to be holy? He says we need to be out of sin. How to be get rid of sin? You need to be walk with God. Okay, let's go back. Next one. The holiness of God. Now we talk about holiness of God, okay? Then we come to our peer people. His absoluteness and majesty, general sense of separation between the creator and the creation. That's God. He separates himself from the create, from creator and creation, but still love the creation. He's a creator, but still love the creation. Okay, that's one, his holiness. Then his ethical holiness, the moral quality of righteousness and love in which true holiness consists and before which men are convicted as sinners. Do you understand what you're trying to tell us? Do you understand? He is the law. So when he is the law and he is absolute, Jesus says, be holy, I am holy. Am I right? He said, Vijay, you be holy because I am holy. God, he says, I'm absolute. I want you to be absolute. And he says, I am the law. I am the grace. I'm the holiness. I want you to be that. If not, the holiness of Israel. Okay, now we know about God, correct? We study about God, how holiness, how holy he is, how absolute he is, and how ethically he is. And now we are far away. We are creatures. He is a creator. Now, holiness. Let's go back to holiness. Exodus 19, 5 to 6 and 20. Chapter 20, verse 2, and Leviticus 11, 14. But I don't have time, you all take down. Because of their God was holy, they were to be holy. Israel's. They were supposed to be holy. Because God is holy, and I'm not. But he will share. If you are faithful to him, he says, I will give the garment of righteousness I will put on you, unless you are on his side. If not, not. Because of their God was holy and they were to be holy. Leviticus 19:2. Then the separate from the nations and from the defilement. The law was given to the Israels separate. What nations? So separate from these nations and from defilement. God told Israel, separate. Separate from the nations. What's wrong with it? Why we need to separate from the nations? Intend to copy their habits, evil and idols. You need to separate. Then he says, and from defilement, all their practices. Separate from that. Then you can be holy. If not, you are not my children. You are not belongs to me because I am holy. I am perfect. I want you to be holy. I want you to be perfect. Then, ceremonial defilement. God gave ceremonial law, but ceremonial defilement. Leviticus 11, 44 and 47. Then, moral defilement. You know, when you study these books carefully, just now our brother says, by reading the Bible, you cannot be holy. Absolutely. But you can. And I was talking about last week or 2 weeks ago, I told you, we are in the fast-moving world. Remember, brother? Fast-moving world. Very fast. We are moving now. When a highway from Highway 270 is 65 miles per hour, unique and drive. Am I right? 65 miles. Are we really driving 65 miles per hour? Simple example. Are we? If anybody drives 65 and you just cut him and you show your finger. Simple. And you can say, oh, but you know, YJ, you also need to understand, you also need to know the law of MVA. If you need to follow the crowd. If they drive 65, you drive 65. If they drive 75, you drive 75. You have to follow the crowd. So there's no traffic jam.
When it's wrong,
do it wrong. That's right. Yeah, I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. We cannot... I don't know, I'm not going to say we cannot be holy. We can be holy. Unless you ceremonial defilement, separate from the nation, separate from defilement, moral. The holiness of Christian, like you and me. Okay? Like you and me. Holiness Christians. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. The holiness of conversion. Okay, the holiness of conversions, 1 Peter 2:9-10, separation from sin. Now, our brother says, sin is transgression of the law. Sin is, am I right, brother? Transgression of the law. So, what is the law? God's character. You know, sometime I learned this word, be in my shoe, you will understand my situation. Am I right? Sometimes people say that. You need to be in my shoe that you know what kind of pain I'm going through. We used to say that, correct? Are we in Jesus' shoe? Are we? You ever be in Jesus' shoe? Then we know that how much He gone for us. The dilemma of sinners approaching the holy God is solved in reconciliation of the blood of the cross. He also gave you the sin. He also gave you the cure. He also said, I am there for you. Exactly. He says, you're giving the answer. I know you have a problem. Holiness, a priest, he says, you need to, you, the holiness of conversion, separate from sin. I know you cannot separate. It's impossible for you to separate. But, he says, you claim my blood, reconciled. Reconcile, reconciliation. I don't know how many accountants we have in this group. I don't know. When if you are really, really accountant, you know, if every month if I give wrong information to the 1, 2, 3, there's one more lady. Oh, lady says not here. If I don't give them proper, oh, there she is. If I don't give them the reconciliation of the accounts, and the church will be in a different dilemma. They got to know how much I'm getting the tithe, how much I'm getting the offering, how much I pay for the conference, and how much I pay for all these things. Then they don't care whatever I pay. They want to know how much money is balanced in the bank account. That's all they want to know. Am I right? That's all they want to know. This is called reconciliation. If you're not reconciled with God, you're not reconciled, understand the blood of God, the blood of Jesus Christ. We don't understand Jesus Christ at all. You need to understand the blood of Jesus Christ. Yes, you can say first Colossians 1, 9, 1 chapter 1, verse 19 to 22, and 1 Peter 1, 20, 1 Peter. Peter 18 to 21. The holiness of character. The holiness of character. This is here, separation of the mind. You know that here, this morning, we have two people talk about. The first one we talk, our second elder said, things going on here, the controversy inside this cell. Inside the skull, that's mind. Separation from the mind. Once your mind, you set your mind properly, your character will be holy. Yes or no? If your mind, you know. Long time I talk. Now, if your heart and mind don't work together, you will be okay. Let me ask a simple question. If a mind think crooked, can I walk straight? Is it possible? If my mind is thinking crooked, can I walk straight? Okay, if I want to walk straight, what must I do? Huh? I must think straight. So if I want to change my mind into toward God, and my character will develop. My character will change. My habits will change. My thoughts will be changed. You know, whenever I look at anybody, they are my brother, they are my sister, they are They are my people. They are my church members. We don't sit down there and gossip. Okay, so this is mind character. This is what most important is. Then you can claim yourself you're holy. If you have all this, the character is not a godly character. Even you come to daily, or maybe you come to the church from 8 up 7 o'clock in the morning and stay until 12 o'clock in the morning, says practice 7. 24/7, 365, you cannot be holy. It's impossible to be holy. You need to change. We need to separate our mind from evil to good. Holiness of conduct. How is our conduct? You know, I still remember, I'm talking about myself, okay? I don't know about other people, I talk about myself. I'm a very naughty boy. I know that. I'm very naughty. When I was young, oh, mischievous, you all don't know. I was so mischievous, so bad. I'm a rascal, actually. And now, can I expect a good conduct from my teacher? Is it possible? I'm a bad guy in the school, at home, in the church. Can I get a good conduct letter from my church elder, or church pastor, or from school, from institute? Impossible. They'll say, hey, I better save my face before I give you the conduct letter. It's a good conduct letter. So our conduct, our behaviors, if our conduct is not according to God's word, according to His love and His mercy, we are far away. We need to separate. Holiness is a conduct. That means separation of our conduct. Change our mind. First, we cannot reconcile. Understand the blood of the cross or the blood of Jesus Christ. So you got to understand that. But God will solve. But you need to change your mind. Separate your... You want to change your mind, your character improve, and your conduct, and you separate your conduct, your behavior, your and how you behave with your neighbors, or how you behave the guy who sit beside you. Okay, part two. This earlier, I keep it for next week, but I'm going to go once. Part two will go only one. Then rest is go next week. Okay, part two. Holiness begins in the mind. You want to be holy? Just look. 1 Peter 1:13, Romans. Somebody can turn Romans 12:2. Romans 12:2 and 1 Peter 1:13. Romans 12:2 and 1 Peter 1:13. Let's see what. Okay, 1 Peter 1:13. Okay, 1 Peter 1:13. Okay, let's see what my book says here. Okay, wherefore, 1 Peter 1:13. 1 Peter 1:13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Okay? Then be sober. And hope to end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I'm reading from King James Version. Okay? What he says here, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. How to gird up our loins of your mind? Brother, sisters, how to gird up your minds? How to gird up? How to tighten our mind? Be sober. Do you have any other translations? Somebody can read for me.
Whatever is good, think on
that thing. Meditate on it. Whatever good. Think and meditate. Think about it. Concentrate on it. Whatever good things you want to do, concentrate. Put your mind in that. And be sober. Be nice. And hope to the end of the grace that is brought unto you. Grace already given to us. Hope for it. Okay, let's go back to Romans 12. Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world. Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? So what are you trying, what is this this book trying to tell us here? Correct your thinking. And stop sinning.
How to stop sinning.
And how to stop sinning. So, is that what you say? Do not conform to this, conformed to this world. What's wrong with this world? What's wrong with this world?
What is wrong with it?
Huh?
What is wrong with it?
So you mean to say everything in the world is no good?
Not at all.
Huh?
Not at all. You're saying it's mostly bent toward undesirable tendencies and thoughts and things to pick up as idols and clutter for the mind that doesn't allow you to see correctly.
But again, he says here, second part, he says, but be ye transformed. This is the second time we heard, we are reading and we heard in our Sabbath school too. We need to transform ourselves.
We've got to turn ourselves around.
We need to
turn ourselves around.
Turn 180 degrees. Turn around. How to turn around?
Cease and desist doing what's wrong. You have to just stop whatever it is. Just like the woman at the well. Go and don't do it no more. You have to stop.
Renewing your mind. And ye may prove what is that is good. You know? Prove what that is good. Everything around us is good. Am I right? Can be. And also, no good. Can be. Either way.
We need to conform ourselves to the will of God.
To conform to the world, we conform ourselves to the will of God.
So some of the bad things are necessary for us to know that we need to just conform.
Okay. And again, again it says, acceptable and perfect will of God through the blood. So, like, but he's coming. When he's coming, when Jesus comes, he see your heart and see my heart. But I look at Montel as Montel. I look at you as a brother. I look at you like everybody outside. But God see inside. But when God see inside you, the holiness is not there. What going to happen? Yeah, but the Son is not there. Yeah, if He's not there. But if Son will be in you, yeah, if Son will be abide in you, if you allow Him to be abide, am I right? If you don't allow Him to be abide in you, then you are not holy. But again, He says you are not supposed to be, He says here, do not conform to the world, but we are in this world. How can we abide in God when you are in this world? Yes, brother.
By allowing God to take control of our minds. If you take a cow and put a noose around its head, or put something around its head so you can lead it, you can lead it anywhere you want it to go. It'll follow. It's got to follow. So if you put the Lord in control of your heart, you will follow wherever He goes.
Okay. Okay. So if you just allow God to control us, are we really willing to allow God to control us?
That's the question.
I need the best. Yes, brother.
If I
Mm-hmm. But the funny thing is, all those men that the Bible mentioned as holy, mm-hmm. they were in the world. Daniel is an example. Mm-hmm. He was in the pagan country. Mm-hmm. But I think when the verses that we read suggest that holiness is not more of an action word, but it's more of
mental word. Mind.
So I can sit here and hear, listening to your sermon, but however, if my mind is not here and it's on something else, then that is where the issue comes. So Paul even said, I forget about, on a daily basis, I forget about the past and press towards the goal.
Good. Yes.
So it means that God knows that
okay.
To do that every day, mm-hmm. like electric plug, we mm-hmm. have to plug in
to
energy. So it's like electric car.
Mm-hmm.
You run low every day through prayer and the study of the word. That is how you renew your mind.
Okay.
Not on our own, but by the grace of God, you constantly get there. If God thinks that we cannot be holy or perfect, I don't think you say
it. I don't think.
Mm-hmm. And holy, he wouldn't tell us to be holy and perfect. So he knows that we have the ability to do it. But as Christ did,
yeah.
he relied on the Father mm-hmm. every day.
Correct.
And we must also rely on Christ every day.
Yeah.
And watch what we think. Because that we can say things and our mind may not be backing what we say.
Okay. Okay. That's good. Thank you. Yes, brother. Okay. So now we say holiness. Yes. Yes, sir. Okay, I know, I understand that. Okay, brother.
What do you want to do now? An illustration.
God is giving. You're not accepting, asking question.
You offered, I accept.
That's what I offered. That's just what I mean. God is giving,
yes.
accept it.
Accepted. Yes,
that is it. Yeah. But we are don't. We don't. We don't, we hesitate. The only who will accept, the child will accept. Unless you transform into a child's mind. Whatever you give, the child accept and smile and walk away. But we don't. Simple analysis. He is willing to give us all the time. Every day is giving us, but our crooked mind is asking questions. God is willing. God is ready to give any. Ask. Yes, brother.
You know, the world tells us if somebody gives you something, there are strings attached.
Oh, yeah.
And we're also told to be in the world, but not of the world.
Yes. See, here, the difference is here. The world, you are not supposed to be in the world to receive the world. You got to be in the world to tell the good news to the world. So that means when I'm taking the good news to my brother, giving that the gift, accept it. You know the problem. Let me, I'm going to stop here. I'm going to tell you simple story, biblical, very biblical. I do not know. I'm crazy guy, little crazy. I'll accept myself. I'm crazy. And I just don't take, even sometimes I read Bible, I just very difficult for me to digest the words sometimes. And I'll go back to do more research. Okay? I do more research, and then I come to conclusion. Say, is that right? So, and this, I think I told my niece the story in a different format. The thing she studied in a school, that format I told the story. But I'm going to tell you an Adventist format, a Christian format. Okay, the format is this. If you read Bible, Genesis, God created heaven and earth. On the sixth day, God created man and woman. And God told them, don't eat of that trees. Correct? Everybody knows that, right? Simple. Theology 101. And one day, and God also, Ellen G. White very clearly says, don't let woman go around, walk by herself. Let company Adam. Okay, one day she got up, wanted to go early breakfast, and she took a stroll. She went for a breakfast, and stole for breakfast, and this strange voice. How many people were there? Two people. Only two people, man and woman. Two people. And angels around. God is there. Jesus Christ is there. Holy Spirit is there. And the millions of angels that are taking care of these two people around her. Okay? And these ladies, she heard a voice. Did God ask you not to eat of this tree? What she say? What she say? What she say? Okay. And third person, she does not know. Does she know? Does she know God? Does she know God? Does she know the angels? Does God have a conversation with them daily, every day? The angels are talking to them and warning them, be careful, watch out. Read Patriarchs and Prophets chapter 3. If I'm not mistaken, the plan of salvation. Or the first three chapters. Read it thoroughly. Read it. Warning this Adam and Eve day in, day out, day in, day out, day in, day out, day in, day out. When you have a problem, call upon me. I will be there instantly. When Eve heard that voice of third person, did she call upon God? What she did? She discussed with her. Come on, let's discuss. Let's discuss. Like you and me. Are we calling upon God when we have problems? When we have difficulties? When the problem we cannot solve? The problem we don't have the answer. Are we calling upon God? No. But Adam and Eve had a problem. They had the problem. She's encountered a third person, which she does not know. Which she does not know. Only she knows Holy God, Son, all the angels, millions of angels around them, warning them day in and day out. Warning, talking to them. And telling them, you will have this kind of problem. Patriarchs and Prophets, chapter 3. Read it. You're going to have. And that's what Jesus was telling us too. And God is telling us too. You're going to face this problem in your life. People come and conquer your mind, conquer your heart, conquer your thoughts, conquer your control, your conduct, your behavior. But instead of what we do, You sit down there. Come on, let's discuss. Paul says, come on, risen then out. That's what Paul said. Come on, sit down there, risen out. We're reasoning out. But we are forgetting the answer is not in man. The answer is only there. Call upon him. Every time, whenever you have problem in the biblical senses, go. Read it. Just, if you read the Bible, sometimes it's very difficult. Sometimes you don't understand. If you have PhD from there to there, difficult. You have, God gave us another spirit of prophecies, clearly. Gave us spirit of prophecy. Read the priesthood prophecy. Read the patriarchs prophets. What happened in the garden? Why our first parents lost the paradise? Why? Because of Eve's big mouth. True. Then we are facing all the consequences because she opened the mouth instead of asking God for help. We say, so, okay, did God say don't do it? When you brought God, a third person, who we do not know, she looks so pretty, so beautiful, with all colorful things, which I don't see you before. Who are you? Did she ask question, who are you? No. She just go along the flow. Okay, I am there. I follow. I go with you. I discuss with you. Come on, conclusion is you are kicked out of the paradise. If we, you and me, want to come out of, or don't want the paradise, go and sit down then discuss. But before discuss, ask God, God, help me out. And he will give you the answer. Let's pray. Our most gracious, loving Father, we thank you for this good morning. Thank you for the Sabbath. And thank you for Sabbath school lesson. Thank you for you choose and you call people for your work. Father God, you're calling us to beware things around this world. So give us a heart and mind to call upon when we encounter the third person. Father God, help us grow in you. Give us a knowledge and understand so we can understand you better. And bless each and every one of us and give us the wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's turn to 633. When we all get to heaven. Yeah, this is appropriate for my sermon. 633. I'm going to ask a question. The question is this. Say by luck you went to heaven. Like one of you or maybe all of us. You ask God, God, why didn't you stop Eve to take the apple or take the fruit and eat? If you ask God, if you had an opportunity to go, what's God's answer will be? You know what the answer is? Simple. She didn't call upon me. She didn't call. She didn't call me for any help. She tried to resolve the problem. If you would have called, you won't be in this situation. If she would have called God, God, I'm in this situation, please help me, we won't be in this situation. She didn't call me. She didn't look for me. Okay, let's pray. Father God, we thank you again. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your joy, and thank you for your patience. And we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, because the mistakes of our forefathers who didn't call upon you, when she encountered the difficulties, the dilemma, the choice that she made is a wrong choice. And now you have to send your beloved Son to die for us because of one person's sin, and he suffered on the cross. And while we are depending every drop of his blood be upon us to wash away all our sins and shortcomings. Father God, we thank you. We are fools. We don't call upon you when we encounter Satan. Father God, give us the courage so we will be in you and you will be abiding us. And take us home safely and give us the time to study your word clearly so we can understand through your Holy Spirit, that we may dwell in the word may dwell in us. So we will be holy as you are holy. Forgive all our mistakes and shortcomings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.